each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, everybody, and welcome. Good day to you, Geraldine. Where is Tony and Christina? Are they coming? Or
I imagine Christina's tied up with the lady who's going to give shots.
Okay, all right. Well, how are you doing?
Good, I'm good.
Good, good. Tony's in. There you go.
Tony's here.
How you doing, Tony?
I'm doing fine, but it's really interesting to come in here and hear Jerry saying with her wisdom.
What'd she say?
What's going on. Christina's caught upstairs doing something.
Okay.
And I just realized it was time to go on, and I just ran down.
Yeah. Is she coming on?
She is, yeah.
Okay.
She just caught doing...
Thank you. We've got some listeners. This is a nice to know. Anyway.
It's because Armin walked into the room.
Exactly. So, all right. Wow. It's a little. Let me just say this at the start.
The start.
So if you feel a little weird these days,
it's me.
No. I do feel.
A little
okay.
Weird.
Yeah. The weather does whatever. There's something in the air, you know, and I know that I've. What was it, a couple of weeks ago when this kind of air change, when this everything got heavy and the humidity and the heat and all that. Of course, I had been, it was the fifth mass I had celebrated, and all of a sudden the dizziness and the pressure and couldn't drive for a couple of days. And as a result, I was off the radio for a week. But, and then when the weather changed, things changed. For me, what was it yesterday? Was the weather changed suddenly yesterday or the day before? I don't remember now. No, the day before, Tuesday. Tuesday. And the same thing. Oh, not as intense as it was before.
It's funny you should say that, Father. On Sunday, I had that feeling. I had that, I don't know if I was getting, you know, I was reading. It was after I was reading, but I was sitting there and I got a wave of...
Dizziness?
Yeah, I don't know. And then I was thinking of what you went through and I didn't know, maybe not. But as I caught myself, because, you know, as I turned, I could feel like I was going to fall. But you know,
well, it was hot, too.
Yeah, so that's I think it is. There's something to what you're saying.
Well, I didn't see it. A couple of people told me they saw it on the Spanish news, and then somebody told me this morning they saw it, heard it on the English news. I don't know what network. But that this is, there's some kind of toxins in the air.
Wow.
And or there's an allergic, we have, some of us respond in an adverse way to this, whatever it is, it's in the air. Because you got this air is very heavy, so everything is just being, you look out, you just see this haze.
Right.
It's not clear. There's not a crispness, not a clearness, not a blueness in the sky. It's just that ugly haze that everything is just weighing down on the city. So there's something in the air, and I guess some of us call it allergies or whatever you want. I don't know, but it... but specifically, the doctor said, the reporter said, as I was told, that the people may be experiencing dizziness and pressure in the head and nauseous feeling. That's exactly where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's exactly. Now, Lorenzo was telling me that the stuff that they're doing in Washington, you know, the fires and all that, this air, the chemicals and all
that's
already come this way. That's already come this way. So that might have an adverse, we may have an adverse effect based on that as well. So anyway, so that's where we're at. It's a very uncomfortable place to be right
now. I hadn't been feeling very well either the last couple of days.
Same thing?
Same thing.
Well, that's, I'm telling you, that's what it is.
And they also said there was a high mold count, too.
Well, so there's a combination of all these things. So that was Armin, by the way, the man of...
Mr. Mold. Yes.
Come on.
I've never been accused of being moldy.
No. He's a man of many, many voices, you know.
But you could tell in that voice that something is not right. He sounds like something... You sound like you got a, I don't know, cold or some kind of...
That was
congestion.
That was his radio.
Do I amuse you?
There you go.
Am I funny like a clown?
There you go. Laugh, Geraldine.
Yasko.
But that's it. You know, that's what. So this is. Yeah. You sit there and you think, what's going on? What's happened to me? What's my problem?
That was for him.
That's aggravating, isn't it?
No, not at all. To be expected.
To be expected. Anyway, so that's where we are. So we have a week of this to put up with. It's not going to break until Tuesday, I think.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what they say. Who are they?
Who are they?
I don't know, but that's what they say.
And I think if you get old enough, you're not as bothered by this as you guys, as you youngsters are.
So you're obviously, you're not bothered by this.
Not really, no.
No.
That's why I like to hang around Jerry. Whenever she's in my presence, I get all that information.
The wisdom.
The wisdom.
The wisdom.
It needs a lot to wash off on me, but...
Well, there's a lot of wisdom. With a lot of years, there comes a lot of wisdom. Right?
Yes.
All right. A number of things today. A little bit of a... let me just start with this, you know, because I thought it was... Actually, I hope I can pull these different things together because I...
You will.
You always do. We'll try. Remember on Tuesday, I spoke about Pope Francis. You know, he mentioned that during the mercy year, the priest would be able to absolve not only the women who have had abortions, but anybody who has participated in abortion, provided that... they come repentant, you know, that there's a genuine repentance, contrition, a sorrow for the sin, that there's a recognition that we're dealing with sin. And I mentioned on Tuesday that this is, this is the church's mission, you know. He's opening the door. Jesus, you know, when he, I think of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, when Jesus gave her the whole message of mercy, the divine mercy, you know, that the door, the floodgates of his mercy are open for anyone who wishes to come. But of course, you know, of course there has to be, you know, a sincerity of heart, you know, that we seek to forgiveness. I knew when I read what the church was doing, and a beautiful thing, and just a reminder, and maybe it's just because, maybe it's meant to tap into the hearts of those who feel that they're lost or that they're hopeless or they want to come into some light, they're in darkness. Many just won't get it. They're just not going to get it, you know. And I was reading, I want to share with you, this is a woman, Megan Zander is her name, and she has I caught the headline, so I tapped into it. I went into her blog space or whatever it is, but She Knows, it's called She Knows. There's a couple of about mothers and all this. And I just want to share with you because it gives you a sense of what we're dealing with as well, you know. So she titles this, The Vatican's Change of Heart on Abortion Has Some Women Rethinking Their Sunday Plans. Well, that sounds okay, you know, that if people feel helpless and hopeless and that they're not, that the door's been shut on them, it's just a reminder that, no, the door's not shut. It never was. It never was. But the impression is that it was, that the Pope, for the first time, all of a sudden, here comes Pope Francis, and for the first time ever, he's going to open the door. No, the door has always been open. There's been no change. It's just except that he's offering the privilege for all priests to, and we've had that privilege. It's up to the bishop, but he being the bishop of the church, the Pope of the church, is able to, so it's for the universal church, but each bishop in his own diocese has given, most bishops have given that that privilege to the priest, because it was prior to that, it's for the bishop to forgive, because there is an excommunication that comes with murder, the sin of abortion. So anyway, her response, she says, as a lapsed Catholic, so she's a lapsed Catholic, she says, Pope Francis' latest announcements about forgiveness for women who've had abortions is making me consider my decision to leave. For women who have had abortions, is making me reconsider my decision to leave the church. So she's left the church. Again, I just want to emphasize and stress that the church never did not forgive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Church never did not forgive if a woman or anybody who participated, the husband or the boyfriend or the people working in the industry of abortion, anybody who has a change of heart and repents, the church never did not, always has offered the possibility for reconciliation through the sacrament of reconciliation. Now, she goes on to say that it's no secret that while the current pope wears the typical white robes, he's a pontiff of a different color. He's known for his direct statements about the church, which some of which have made waves with more conservative Catholics. Pope Francis is again proving that the Catholic Church is working to change its doctrine. It's not changing its doctrine.
No.
This is the crazy thing that you hear out there. He's proving again that he's going to change the doctrine. He's not going to change the doctrine. Nothing has changed. Period. This is Jesus says, don't think I've come to change the laws. Nothing of the law is going to change. No period, no comma, no cult, nothing. But I'm going to take you beyond the law, right? I just find this, this is news, you see. This was on a major news site. And then, Okay, she acknowledges that prior to this decree, having an abortion was deemed to be a sin so serious that having one meant the woman was to be excommunicated and forgiveness could be only obtained by a senior church official, by a bishop. That's true. But again, the doors were open for that, and many bishops offered the privilege to all the priests of their diocese. So she says, this is yet another bold statement in a long line of progressive comments from Pope Francis, and it just may be the one that makes all the difference for a number of Catholics who have strayed from the flock in recent years. I say this because I'm one of them. So she says, I'm a confirmed but lapsed Catholic. I attended Catholic school and will forever have a soft spot in my heart for plaid skirts, which has nothing to do with Britney Spears. But as I became an adult and learned about the Catholic Church's arcane and ancient opinions in regards to birth control, reproductive medicine, abortion, and homosexuality, it became clear to me that I could no longer proudly call myself a Catholic. Sunday mornings now have me worshiping at the altar of Target or the Zumba gods rather than at Mass.
That's sickening to me.
It's so superficial.
Right.
This reflects much of what we see in our society today.
I hate to say it, but it sounds like it's a good thing that she's not in church.
Well,
I'm sorry. It's just mean to say. But
you hear this all the time. Right. This is not out of the ordinary. This is people's attitudes. And so there's no problem. I'll worship at the altar of Target. Mm-hmm. Or to the Zumba gods. Who are the Zumba gods? I have no idea who that is.
I think it's an exercise.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful.
Exercising in them.
Anyway, she says, I'm not alone in my decision to do other things on Sundays instead of going to Mass as I was raised to do. Although Catholics make up half of the global Christian population like me, many Americans who are raised Catholic have disassociated from the church as adults. It's estimated 1 in 10 American adults identify as a former Catholic. I think it's probably more than 1 in 10.
I think
anyway,
so.
Anyway, and the church has lost more American Catholics in recent decades than it's gained from religious conversions. And that's true, of all the religions, by the way. It's not just Catholic. But a thing you never hear about the other, it's always about the Catholic Church.
Of course.
She says, although my closet and cholesterol levels thank me for my own new Sunday morning hobbies.
Oh,
I'd be lying if I said I didn't miss Mass. I didn't miss the sense of community I felt as a child when I was a member of the church. Well, it's quite a bit more than just this sense of community.
Oh, yes,
you know?
A lot more.
Now that I'm a parent and my kids are getting closer to preschool age, I've struggled with how to introduce them to the concept of morality without the Bible stories as I grew up with. Well, what's your definition of morality? That's the other thing.
Well, you know, let the target God take care of that.
Sure.
Right, and it changes from day to day.
I'd love to give them some of the same lessons.
Oh, help us.
But have hesitated to do this because there are these social issues the church has opinions on that I don't want them to learn or to believe in.
Opinions. Oh,
this tells you. I mean, this is. I thought this was just kind of classic in a sense. You know, where people are at. It's disturbing, to be honest, to me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, but this new decree about women who've had abortions, coupled with more liberal statements made by Pope Francis, have given me hope. He's stated that people who've been divorced should not be excommunicated. Well, they're not excommunicated. First of all, see, that's people say that. People that are, who have been divorced are not excommunicated.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're remarried, they're not excommunicated. They're not able, they have to have their situation reconciled with the church before there's an impediment to receiving Holy Communion
right.
in the sacrament, but they're not excommunicated. So she's wrong there. She said the pontiff has moved away from the strict historical idea that Catholics shouldn't use birth control by calling for responsible family planning. That is not true. The Pope has not said that. He said, yes, a family should be responsible. Every family, this has always been the teaching of the church, to be responsible in regards to the family. But he didn't say that Catholics should use birth control in order to responsibly plan their family. He didn't say that. The church hasn't said that. And she says, and although I don't agree with his decision not to support gay marriage, he has shown support for the LGBTQA. One of these days, I've got to figure out what all these stand for. LGBTQA community by stating, who am I to judge, while asked his opinion on homosexuality. Again, the media does this all the time. When he said, who am I to judge, he was saying specifically, who am I to judge, and it was in the case of a priest who was had fallen into this sin, he says, if he's repented, who am I to judge? That's then between he and God. That's within the context of what he was saying. He never said, who am I to judge? But immediately the media picks up on that. And then she says, well, I don't personally feel that abortion is even a sin. A fact that the decision has been made to grant forgiveness for them is a huge reflection of a religion evolving to serve its people and the realities of the world we live in. The concept of abortions being forgiven as a type of promotional offer during the upcoming Holy Year of Mercy feels a bit like a gimmick. Reconciliation, special, confession, three sins for the penance of one, free rosary with membership, but it's certainly a giant step or leap in the right direction. I mean, how can anybody with half a brain, forgive me for saying, but I mean, you know what
You're
I'm saying?
Right.
This is, and yet this is what you hear this
thinking.
All the time.
You said this is from her blog. Her blog, right?
That's
what
I said.
What does blog mean?
You don't
know. Baloney loaded on greatly.
All right, there you
okay?
go. Nice. I didn't know that that's what that meant.
That's what it means.
Okay, yeah. But anyway. So I had to tap into the blog and see what, you know, because this was on it. This is actually on
I think she's looking for a reaction. I can't believe she's that naive.
Well, I do believe that. I do believe that.
Maybe. I don't want to think people are like that. I really don't.
Well, I'm sure
they are.
As somebody said yesterday, you know, when we talk about government policy, you know, just think of all the things that have happened, especially under the administration of President Obama. The recent thing with the Planned Parenthood and all that, and the lack of reaction, the lack of response, no attention given it by the media, the government. It just seems to sweep it under, not even sweep it under the carpet. It's just not an issue. It's a non-issue. The problem is, it's not it's the government, but it's that we've changed as a people, and the change is not a change for the good. As far as I'm concerned.
No, it's not.
Certainly. All right, so let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll pick up on that. There's a couple of things I want. Well, we'll see where we go. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Lisa Porta Winds of Change, in AM 750 WNDZ.
Are you still wondering where to send your children to school? St. Stan's offers peace of mind as they have openings, and they're not going on strike. At this time, St. Stan's currently has $37,000 in scholarship funds to give to families in need, kindergarten through 8th grade, and $10,000 for preschool. School started August 25th. Don't wait any longer. And before the funds run out, come join the St. Stan's family. You have a home. We are still accepting applications for the fall 2015-2016 school year. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. For complete information and to download an application, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Hurry. Financial assistance application deadline has been extended to Tuesday, September 8th for St. Stan's School, kindergarten through 8th grade. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Dance with me. I want to be your partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, one church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7 with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Welcome, Christina. We miss you.
I'm sorry. I'm late now. Now I'm tardy. Tony was early today,
Well, he wasn't early.
He did come in early. It was my fault.
And he did say that, so. Anyway, I was talking about this. This is related as well, mm-hmm. in a sense, but I want to put things in perspective, because I think the problem is, because there's a Pew report that says vast majority of U.S. Catholics who leave the Catholic Church can't imagine ever returning. The problem is, really, in all honesty, it's not so simplistic, but the vast majority of Catholics are baptized, but they've had very, very poor, if any, real formation. So they're told all their life, you're a Catholic, you were baptized a Catholic, but there's been, as I say, little or no formation. And even, sad to say, but over the years, because of the effects of the 1960s and the 1970s and even into the 1980s and the 90s, and I would say that there was poor formation even in the Catholic schools, mm-hmm. in many of the Catholic mm-hmm. schools. This is another, and of course we're so much dominated by the pop culture. The media really forms, that's the primary formation, is really the formation that comes via the media. Mm-hmm. And if the media's already got
and they don't even know what they're talking about anyway. And then think that they're the knowledge.
Well, this is like this woman, highly intelligent, supposedly, and all that. And
so smart but dumb.
You would have been.
The stupidity comes through. And
yes.
I hate to use the word stupidity, but it's the ignorance and stupidity comes
sure.
through. Very superficial, yeah. very shallow.
And those that don't know better, they're like, whoa, wow.
And taking taking things out of context.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes.
So anyway, many just don't know, because they only know what they hear on the TV, what they see on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
How many people really go deeper?
I mean, that's got to be sad, too, that you would sit and get all your information from the TV.
But that's most people. I hate to say this, but I'm convinced most people do.
Well, let's get rid of the TVs.
You get the computer. But there's a media firestorm arose in Spain. This is after a transsexual woman who considers herself a man asked to be godfather to her nephew. Now, But listen, I want you to hear the Vatican mm-hmm. response to this, because mm-hmm. it was a media firestorm. And so the bishop, the diocesan bishop turned to the Vatican for an answer. You know, can this transsexual woman be the godfather of her nephew? And you're going to learn something that you probably didn't know. In fact, I have to admit, I didn't know. Mm-hmm. Should have known, but I didn't know. But here's the Vatican's response. Very interesting. First of all, this transsexual person... here's the response of the Vatican. The Vatican's Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith responded, saying that since transsexual persons are not consistently living church teaching, it's impossible for them to fulfill their duties as a godparent. The bishop wrote the letter after Alex Salinas, 20-year-old, born a woman, had requested to be the godfather of her nephew. She considers herself now a man. She wants to be the godfather. In the response, the congregation, the Vatican, charged with safeguarding Catholic teaching, said that it is impossible to allow a person with transsexual behavior to be a baptismal godmother or godfather. So this is a statement that was made September 1st, just the other day. The congregation said, or the bishop had turned to the Vatican due to confusion, mm-hmm. confusion among some of the faithful, and the complexity and media mm-hmm. attention garnered by this issue. So it's happening all over the place, not just here mm-hmm. in the United States.
Yes.
In the Vatican's full response, and the bishop provided it in his statement, the Vatican explained that transsexual behavior reveals in a public way an attitude opposite to the moral imperative of solving the problem of sexual identity according to the truth of one's own sexuality. Therefore, it is evident that this person does not possess the requirement of leading the life according to the faith and in the position of godfather, and is therefore unable to be admitted to the position of godfather or godmother. However, the Vatican stressed that there is no discrimination toward Alex, but only the recognition of an objective lack of requirements which, by their nature, are necessary to assume the ecclesial responsibility of being a godfather. And pointed out that the role of godparents in the sacrament of baptism is assumed before God and His church, and in relation to the baptized, the duty of cooperating with the parents in the child's Christian formation, seeking to lead a life consistent with baptismal faith and faithfully fulfilling the inherent obligations. That's the role of the godparents. Mm-hmm. Did I confuse you there?
No.
Okay, the role of the godparent, in the statement it said that the role of godparents in the sacrament is to stand before God and the church, and in relation to the baptized, the child, and the godparent has a duty of cooperating with the parent in the Christian formation and seeking to lead a life that is consistent with baptismal faith, faithfully fulfilling the inherent obligations. And therefore, godparents must be firm believers, able and ready to help the newly baptized child or adult on the road of Christian life. If the candidates meeting the requirements to be a godparent are not found, in other words, if parents say, I can't find anybody who meets those requirements, this is something I wasn't aware of. The baptism can still be celebrated in the same form, since the figure of godparents is not necessary in this sacrament. So you don't have to have a godparent. So first, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And the question always comes up
all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. And we just assume, well, they've got to have. Got to have at least one godparent.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
But this is
for baptism.
For baptism. So in canon law, mm-hmm. It's not required. It's not if godparents are not found, the baptism can still be celebrated, since the figure of godparents is not necessary in this sacrament. Mm-hmm. They've got to do some research on that.
Because I've had people say, well, I can't find anyone that fulfills that, that requirement. Then it's like, well, how about the grandparents? Are they able to, they fulfill the requirements, so it's okay then.
It's interesting. We're gonna, look
but
at
I didn't
that.
Know about that. That's interesting, look at that.
The bishop representing the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith from the Vatican, has he recalled Pope Francis's words in his environmental encyclical, in which the Pope said that, and this is, you know, because you're reading this more and more about different schools where they you can't distinguish between a man and a woman. You can't even use he or she inside. It's bizarre. Really, it is bizarre. Mm-hmm. And some of the strangest places, by the way, too. You know, like in Tennessee, I think I was reading the other day that there's a university that forbids the distinction to make these distinctions between men and women. But the Pope's in the encyclical, the Pope said that valuing one's own body in its femininity or masculinity is necessary if I'm going to be able to recognize myself in an encounter with someone who is different. In this way, we can joyfully accept the specific gifts of another man or woman, the work of God, the Creator. In this, we joyfully accept the work of God, the Creator, and find mutual enrichment. It is not a healthy attitude which would seek to cancel out sexual difference because it no longer knows how to confront it. And this is the crisis of our time. Mm. We don't know how to confront the differences, or this is increasingly so. So the church, and then the statement finally concludes, the church welcomes all persons with charity, desiring to help each one in their situation with tender mercy, but without denying the truth she preaches, which is offered to everyone as a path of faith to be freely accepted. But I thought that was the church's response is very very pastoral. But you know, we don't cave in. We don't compromise, because the church in her teachings, these are teachings that have stood the test of time, and it's what's been handed on to us by God in the very nature of life, and to be handed on to others. I guess so.
It's pretty simple, Father. God's ways are simple. They're profound, but it's like we complicate things. It's like, it's already hard enough, and then we have to add more stuff.
So that was it's being a transgender, a transsexual, or whatever. I don't know if there's a difference between one or the other, but there's in the Missouri. I was going to download it, and I read it, and in essence, it turns the stomach because what has happened to humility? I guess the thing. What has happened to humility? But a student at a high school considers himself to be a woman. And so he's, you know, they had a picture of him. He was wearing a long wig, and he was wearing a dress and high heels and all that. And the school said he could use the women's washroom and all this. And so the girls in the school, I think 200 of the students walked out of school. So this is a big big issue because, you know, we've got to appease this. He hasn't had sexual change. He just thinks that he's a woman, and the girls feel quite rightfully uncomfortable having him in the same washroom, same bathroom, same dressing room. And this is a big... So because of this one person demanding, you know, that he be respected and, you know, catered to in a sense, you know, we've got to... So it's bizarre, really. Mm-hmm. What's happening in the society today is bizarre. And what I suggest again is, I think the problem is a lack of humility. Really, a lack of humility. That if a person is, see, the problem is we live in a conflicted world, a world that is unfortunately been adversely shaped by the sin of original sin, and so there is disorder. There's disorder. I think thanks be to God for Jesus who has redeemed us. But nonetheless, as we make our way through this life, we do so in conflict, in disorder. We have to fight the good fight. We have to weather the storms. It's not a perfect world. It's never going to be. There's never going to be a utopian society that's going to... But there's this failure to accept conflict, disorder in one's own personal life. If you deem me to be disordered, well, then you've got the problem. I don't have the problem. You know, I want you to order what you deem to be disordered. You better order it. In other words, it's got to conform to you. You know what I'm saying? anyway.
You know what confuses me?
What confuses you?
On television, when I used to take my brother for chemo to the Veterans Administration building, okay?
Okay.
They had these horrible television programs on, which I had to watch because what else could I do? But they go into screaming at each other. One is saying, "You're the father of this one." The other one says, "No, he's the father."
Oh, you're talking about those,
go on and on.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
And people believe that dialogue is screaming at each other, saying nonsensical things, mm-hmm. being really goofy. Yeah. And this has taken over a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They don't want calm conversation.
Sure, mm-hmm. yeah, it really has.
They want this stuff.
Well, I told you this morning, you know, we'll take a break here in a second, but I was in a conversation with somebody yesterday. Now, he knew I was a priest, and he's a young man. I mean, it was a pleasant conversation, so I don't want to be overly mm-hmm. critical, but it was amazing, and I see this more and more. And granted, I mean, I understand that we've got we've got to begin with ourselves. No doubt, we've got to seek to authenticate our lives in Christ. But we're never going to be perfect. You know? Mm-hmm. So the church is always going to be flawed. There's always going to be cause for scandals. There's always going to be defect. You're going to come into a church and you're not going to find everybody's going to be flying high and not everybody's going to be floating. It's not going mm-hmm. to be. No, you're going to find a Geraldine, you're going to find a Tony Christina. And a Christine and a Father Anthony. And so it is. But still, it goes back a lack of humility.
Yeah.
But this young guy, we were talking, and you know, he said, "Oh, you're the church man," or whatever, you know. Well, yeah, I guess you can say that. He was, and he just kind of oblivious and kind of out there. But, you know, we had a pleasant conversation, mm-hmm. and I realized, you know, this, we talk about ignorance, that this the guy has no formation. Most people have no formation. And so even in speaking to me, you know, I'm wearing a Roman collar, he had no problem using the F word and the S word and that. I mean, just mm-hmm. like, you know, before you'd, you know, okay, if you clean up your act, if somebody who is known to sure. be religious, mm-hmm. and when I say religious, I don't mean a saint, but I mean, mm-hmm. you know, that this person has regard for God, this person has regard for things that are sacred, this person has a regard for whatever, you know, you right? You're not going to, parents, you know, hopefully parents.
You modify your mouth.
Would sure. modify their way of speaking or behaving in the presence of the children,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
But today that's...
It's lost.
It seems to be. Mm-hmm. Seems to be. It's very, very sad, you know. Yes. But as I said, I realize as I'm listening, you know, this guy's got no clue. Mm-hmm. But he's a good guy. He's a good guy, and it's not his fault that he had no form. Mm-hmm. He seemingly has had no formation. He's acting in accord with what his environment, you know, it's but he's got it. Anyway, we'll take a break. Be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen, Support, and Win to Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church. One church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Waltham, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7 with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. Are you still wondering where to send your children to school? St. Stan's offers peace of mind as they have openings, and they're not going on strike. At this time, St. Stan's currently has $37,000 in scholarship funds to give to families in need, kindergarten through eighth grade, and $10,000 for preschool. School started August 25th.
Don't wait any longer. And before the funds run out, come join the St. Stan's family. You have a home. We are still accepting applications for the fall 2015-2016 school year. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. For complete information and to download an application, visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. Hurry. Financial assistance application deadline has been extended to Tuesday, September 8th for St. Stan's School, kindergarten through 8th grade.
Welcome back, everybody. So the solution, you know, there's a number of other things I'd like to bring up, but I'm not going to because I don't want to depress you. You know, you get the impression you're coming across as being, I'm saying to myself, I'm looking at myself and I say, you know, here we go, woe is us, or woe are we, or woe am I.
Just go ahead.
But these are realities we're dealing with, you know, and it's, I was reading today too, and it's a horrible, 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 sad tragedy what's going on in Europe, you know, the migrants that are coming over and dying, you know, and it's very, very sad. But in Hungary, if you've seen the pictures, it's just unbelievable. But it's a, talk about a mass migration, and what do you do? What do the European countries do? How do you deal with that? How do you confront that? And it has to be confronted. It has to be dealt with. You know, a country has to protect its borders. There's no doubt about it. No, I heard yesterday too. I was listening to a commentary, and it was, you know, what? Where's the, again? This is, raises a question. Where is the Islamic community in dealing with this problem? Because these are mostly Muslims that are coming over. And where, you know, who's going to take care of these people? Who's going to resolve these issues? I realize it's very complex. I mean, the more and more you listen to news, the more complex it seems to be. And wherein lies the truth? And but the point is, Europe has to decide how they're going to deal with this. It's a major crisis. But what was interesting, and again, if you see the photos of this, is in Hungary, it is unbelievable. But the prime minister, or the, I don't know if it's a president or the prime minister of, let's see, is he prime minister or is he the president? Well, the point is, the head of the of Hungary, let's see here, because the European community has to decide how are we gonna approach this? What are we gonna do? And isn't that funny? I'm trying to find this, and I can't find this. Is a. But the, well, let me just. Oh, here we go. The question is. Yeah, these are thousands of people, thousands upon thousands of people. I think Germany has already admitted 100,000 people into Germany.
Wow.
Within expected 800,000 within the year or something will be, and they Germany's a strong, rich country. So it's got a. So Germany plans to receive 800,000 refugees this year.
Wow.
But the I can't, for the life of me, find this quote. But the no, it's not. Anyway, it's beyond me now. But the question was, what has happened to Europe? What has happened to Europe's identity? Because the fear is our identity is being threatened, and the prime minister of Hungary cannot find his name for some reason, said, you know, he's raising the question. Nobody else will raise the question. This is an important question, because Europe and European culture have Christian roots.
Mm-hmm.
But does it even matter?
Mm-mm, no.
Here it is. He is Prime Minister Orbán in Brussels. He was there for talks with other European Union leaders, and he says the Europeans were full of fear because they see that the European leaders are not able to control the situation of the migrants, and the question was raised, that the countries, some of the countries feel like they're being overrun with refugees. Mm-hmm. And the question is, what about our identity? And it was, the question was raised, what about our Christian identity, Christian Europe? Does anybody really care? Christian Europe sold out, it seems to me, a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, but it's a humanitarian issue, mm-hmm. and something has to be done. It's just another one of those things. Anyway, that's another one of the things that's going on that really caught my attention, because I saw the pictures. I couldn't believe the pictures. Did you see some of
those?
Yes.
Yes.
It's just
people, and then you see the children.
The children, yeah.
Children, you.
Anyway, at the same time, you know, we got this this Pew Research Center survey that. Now that we're coming close to the visitation of Pope Francis, mm-hmm. there will be all kinds of reports on the church, mm-hmm. certainly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And people certainly boast of the fact that they are no longer Catholics. And as I said, 75% of those who have left the church said they can't even imagine returning to the church, for the same reason that the woman wrote about. You know, but so the bottom line is this: what's the solution? And I said, I believe what's lacking today is humility,
mm-hmm.
and there's no possibility for genuine humility without prayer, without some sense of God. I found it very interesting. I was reading this morning in the office because I do think we're in a situation of purgation. We're being purged. We're being, I want to use the word chastised, because it's a chastisement. If it feels like a chastisement, it's because we've done this to ourselves, right? We've done this to ourselves. But there is a purging. I remember the other day I mentioned Pope Benedict said that if you're no longer a believer, then do the right thing and leave the church. The door's always going to be open. You can come back. But our worst enemies are our own people, mm-hmm. our own people who claim to be Catholic or former Catholic, but many of them were never formed in the Catholic faith. Because you can't be, let me just say this, unless something really radical happens in someone's life, it's very, very hard to be formed properly in the Catholic faith, in the mysticism of the church, in the prayer of the church, and to be formed in the moral precepts, the values of the church, and leave the church. You just can't do it. Mm-hmm. Because it's you could do it, I guess, but I say something radically would have to happen. Because when you come into that light, when you come to know the living God as revealed in Jesus and through Jesus, then you can't, because you find the pearl that has no price. Mm-hmm. And so when people, you know, as the Pew Research was speaking about cultural Catholics, I call it casual Catholicism, call it cultural Catholicism, call it a cafeteria Catholicism. Again, the dominance of pop culture, the narrative out there that, you know, anybody who doesn't just give free rein to the flesh, we won't say that, but in other words, how dare you tell me I can't do the radical individualism, all these isms we've talked about so often, radical individualism, relativism, secularism, hedonism,
mm-hmm.
all this, it creates an environment under the dominion of pop culture that, yeah, if this is where you are, then none of the stuff the church speaks about is going to make any sense until you realize that you've taken a trip down a dead-end road and you hit rock bottom and you realize that this just doesn't work, that how could I even have allowed myself to think and to act in such a way. And of course, as I say, the church is here, the door is open. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied to the Israelites who were in the exile. And today, from the office of readings, he writes a letter from Jerusalem. He's still in Jerusalem, and he writes a letter to the people that have been exiled. This letter is directed to the elders, it'd be the bishops, the priests, and the prophets, you know, and then to all the people. Very interesting. We'll take a break. When I come back, we'll look at that. And then I say the solution to the problem for each and every one is to be nurtured in a sincere life of prayer. And it's not very complicated. It's really in keeping with the nature of who we are. That's why what's happening today is contrary to our nature, our true nature. This chaos, this confusion, this unrest, this free reign of the flesh is contrary to who we are truly as people created by God for a good and noble purpose. All right, we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
Are you still wondering where to send your children to school? St. Stan's offers peace of mind as they have openings, and they're not going on strike. At this time, St. Stan's currently has $37,000 in scholarship funds to give to families in need, kindergarten through 8th grade, and $10,000 for preschool. School started August 25th. Don't wait any longer. And before the funds run out, come join the St. Stan's family. You have a home. We are still accepting applications for the fall 2015-2016 school year. Call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. Or stop by at 1255 North Noble Street. That's one block north of Division, just off the Kennedy. For complete information and to download an application, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. Hurry. Financial assistance application deadline has been extended to Tuesday, September 8th for St. Stan's School, kindergarten through 8th grade. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Dance with me. I want to be a partner. Can't you see?
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, one church, many cultures, invites you to our fourth annual dinner dance on Friday, September 18th at the historic Willowbrook Ballroom, 8900 Archer Avenue in Willow Springs, Illinois. Dinner is served at 7, with dancing until midnight. Not only will there be dinner and dancing, there will also be various raffles, including an auction raffle, money raffle, and a silent raffle to support St. Stanislaus Kostka Church, with masses in English, Spanish, and Polish open 24 hours a day as the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy is truly one church, many cultures. To get your tickets, visit sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. That's sanctuaryofthedivinemercy.org. Click on the events calendar for all you need to know to join us for our fourth annual dinner dance at the Willowbrook Ballroom, 7 p.m. Friday, September 18th.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I'm thinking, you know, I say the problem, I think, is a lack of, I really believe this is the problem in our nation is a lack of humility. Everybody wants their rights. Everybody's demanding their rights. And certainly justice and peace and all this, and we've got to, you know, we defer always first to God and then from God to the human person. So, but there has to be a norm, a standard, and that standard and that norm has been given to us by God in the Ten Commandments. And so if I've got a family and, you know, we got to make this work, right, people? We've got, this is our family. We've got to adhere to these laws, these rules. These are your obligations. These are your responsibilities. And we do so for the good of the whole family. So that means that everybody has to make a sacrifice. Everybody has to do their part. Not each and every one is going to get what they want. And the fact is that in life, as I say, there is conflict. There is disorder. This is part of life. But we don't, as I say so often, we don't recreate God into our disordered way of thinking or a disorder. But we look to this high standard. In any case, when we don't, wherein lies the truth? It has to be somewhere. And if it's not, then expect anarchy, expect chaos, expect the destruction, the demise of a society or a civilization as it has happened over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. We're moving in a bad direction, a very, very bad direction in government, in education, sad to say, but in our families and our communities, because we don't have this sensitivity to the reality of God, that God is unless, of course, we have to think of ourselves as spiritual, but it's a God in my own making, a God that appeases me, a God that in other words, at the bottom line, I become the God. Mm-hmm. So I'm in dialogue with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in dialogue with myself. And that's part of that radical individualism, relativism. Okay, don't rock my boat, and I'm not going to rock your boat. But when the people of the Old Covenant, when they deviated, when they walked away from God, and I realize we're just about out of time, so I'm just going to get started in this, and we'll come back to this tomorrow, because I want to bring it back to prayer, because into the catechism, and this inspired me the other day, when we were talking about the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that last section on prayer is so beautiful, so beautiful. And if we could, but anyway, we'll get into that. But Jeremiah writes to the people in the exile. He's still in Jerusalem. Now, their nation has been destroyed. This is 587 B.C., 587 to 586 B.C. The Babylonians have destroyed the nation. The temple was destroyed. People were exiled. And Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem, but he writes to the elders and to the priests and to the prophets and to all the people in the exile, and because they've been purged, they've been punished. They're being purged, and this is the letter he writes, as God is revealing to him. He says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I exiled from Jerusalem. God has exiled them, allowing the Babylonians to destroy, to take this nation." He says, in the exile, build the houses to dwell in, plant gardens, eat their fruits, take wives, beget sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters husbands, so that they may bear sons and daughters. There you must increase in number, not decrease. Now, promote the welfare of the city to which I have exiled you. Pray for it to the Lord, for upon its welfare depends your own. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Don't let yourselves be deceived by the prophets and divinizers who are among you. Do not listen to these among you who dream dreams. For they prophesy lies to you in my name. I did not send them, says the Lord. I think we got a lot of false prophets, mm-hmm. a lot of divinizers. But, I mean, who's the God? Is it the state? Is it the pop culture? Whatever. But don't listen. Listen to my... Listen to those who are living the faith, those who are at the heart of the faith, because God says, only after 70 years have elapsed for Babylon will I visit you and fulfill for you my promise to bring you back to this place, for I know well the plans I have in mind for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare, not for woe, plans to give you a future full of hope. When you call me, when you go to me, when you pray to me, I will listen to you. When you look for me, you will find me. The problem is you haven't done any of this. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. You know, see, that's the thing. The problem is you haven't done this. You haven't done this. Yes, when you seek me with all your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord, and I will change your lot. I will gather you together from all the nations and all the places to which I have banished you and bring you back to the place from which I have exiled you. So the promise of a future, the promise... The hope for the first of all, we got that we're going to undergo this purgation. We have to. There has to be this purgation. But the Lord is with us because He purifies in view of what He has planned for us. So we're going to stop there, evidently, because that's the end of the show. So we'll come back tomorrow. Don't let me forget, we'll pick up on this because I want to talk about the beauty of prayer. Thanks for being with us. We'll be back tomorrow, God willing. I'm Father Anthony, and may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Ciao.
Amen.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time.